From April 23rd right up to today, we've been captivated by a brand new 9-part series on the life of Jonah called The Reluctant Prophet. On today's edition of Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll puts the final touches on this study as we take one more look at the chronology of Jonah's fascinating journey and the ways he self-sabotaged his legacy. One would think this prophet, who had witnessed firsthand the miracles of God, would connect the dots of his blessing, but Jonah didn't. Chuck titled his closing study, Lessons Learned from a Stubborn Preacher.
We've been spending our time through these several messages, through these 48 verses, and we have carefully allowed the scriptures to speak for themselves that we might learn from them. I find 4 very helpful principles or lessons that we can learn from this book, each chapter yielding another lesson from the story of a stubborn preacher. Chapter 1 seems to teach us this. Any attempt to escape from the Lord is an act of futility. Any attempt to escape from the Lord is an act of futility. Jonah's attempt was amazing. I mean, he didn't wait around to run from the Lord. He did it immediately. Soon as he heard, go to Nineveh, he made plans to go to Tarshish, opposite direction. His escape was immediate, not delayed. It was brash, not subtle. It was deliberate, not uncertain. He knew exactly what he was doing. I'm out of here. Any attempt to escape from the Lord is an act of futility. So here's the lesson I get from chapter 2. Anytime and any place we call on the Lord is an acceptable time and place. Anytime, any place. He says in verse 7, my life was slipping away, and that's when I remembered the Lord. It was there he finally came to his senses. It was there he remembered the Lord. It was in the fish he said, I will fulfill my vows. It was in the fish he finally, at least for a brief period, surrendered. Lesson number 3. Any person who is willing to deliver God's message is a messenger God is willing to use. Frankly, I think I'm safe in saying God isn't that particular with who his voice box would be. He has used some amazing voice boxes over time. Jonah is a classic example. The man is prejudiced, the man is angry, the man delivers the message with the wrong motive, the man is looking at these people, not with love, but with hatred. He's hoping for the worst, God has planned for them the best, and he's faithful to deliver what God gave him to say, and the people, amazingly, took it to heart, changed the direction of their lives, and went through a process rather quickly of repenting. They had been moving in one direction, they're now moving in the other, thanks to the message that Jonah delivered to them. God's willing to use even a soiled, prejudiced, hateful messenger, if he will deliver his message. When you get to the 4th chapter of Jonah, you come to a convoluted man. He finds himself in the midst of a revived people who are in the process of repenting, changing their wicked ways because of what he told them, though he didn't want them to change. And he, of all things, is now witnessing that God has changed his plan from destroying them to blessing them. He can't stand it. And the lesson we learn from all of this, hear it. Any desire we have that is in conflict with the plan God desires requires that we change our desire. Sounds like a tongue twister, so I'll give it to you again. Any desire we have that is in conflict with the plan God desires requires a change in our desire, which again, Jonah missed. You know what he didn't realize? Let me just level with you. It's pretty basic to life. He forgot who the potter was and who the clay was. There's a great little chapter in Jeremiah, as I recall, it's chapter 18, where the Lord describes to the prophet Jeremiah the scene. In fact, he took him to the scene where there was a potter sitting in a wheel working on a vase or some object out of clay. And then he tells Jeremiah, as he looks at it, to remember, the Lord is the potter, we are the clay. The Lord is the master, we are the servants. How easy to forget that. You don't learn that out of school. You don't learn it even in higher learning. You don't learn it in the corporate world. You don't learn it in the medical field. You don't learn it if you're pursuing law. You won't learn it from the courtroom. You won't even learn it in many seminaries because it works against our human nature. We like being in charge. That really is Jonah's number one problem. He couldn't call the shots. And he wouldn't yield to the one who had the right to call him. And you know what? That's why the man lived a life that was so unhappy, discontented, and ungrateful. Frankly, I think that is maybe one of the reasons that the book of Jonah is such a relevant message. We live in that kind of day. We're surrounded by individuals who really believe they have every right to call their own shots. After all, look at what they've made of themselves. And the result is, back to a word I've used before in this series, there is a narcissistic attitude about life that is embraced by the majority. It's all about me. It's all about my comfort, what I want. It's all about where I want to live. It's all about where I want to work, what I want to do. It's all about me. You know, it really isn't. That's the main message of the book of Jonah. Not until we accept the fact that God is God and we are not, will we ever be obedient, contented, joyful, and grateful people. Now, I have something I want to read for you, or to you. Because I believe this kind of information hits some people totally out of the blue, I feel I need to go back a little bit and explain something. God is on a pursuit to bring us all in submission to Him. I finally got that. After all these years, I finally got it. He wants us to live lives that are in submission to Him. He wants us to learn what we learned to say in the military, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He wants us to go where He tells us to go, and He wants us to do what He is leading us to do. It's pretty simple. And when we don't do that, God has ways of, shall we say, turning up the heat, intensifying His efforts. Some of us have lived long enough to tell our own stories about such experiences where we learn the hard way that He means business. This is not just sermon material. This is truth to live by. Could it be that your life is unhappy and filled with discontent and ingratitude because you simply will not submit to the One who made you and wants you to walk with Him? So the piece I'm going to read to you is a piece written by A.W. Tozer titled "The Hammer, the File, and the Furnace." I want every one of you to listen very carefully. And with this reading, I close my message with a final thought. It was the enraptured Rutherford who could shout in the midst of serious and painful trials, "Praise God for the hammer, the file, and the furnace." The hammer is a useful tool, but the nail, if it had feeling and intelligence, could present another side of the story. For the nail knows the hammer only as an opponent, a brutal, merciless enemy who lives to pound it into submission, to beat it down out of sight, to clench it into place. That is the nail's view of the hammer, and it's accurate, except for one thing. The nail tends to forget that both it and the hammer are servants of the same workman. Let the nail but remember that the hammer is held by the workman, and all resentment toward it will disappear. The carpenter decides whose head shall be beaten next and what hammer shall be used in the beating. That is the sovereign right of the carpenter. When the nail has surrendered to the will of the workman and has gotten a little glimpse of His benign plans for its future, it will yield to the hammer without complaint. The file is more painful still, for its business is to bite into the soft metal, scraping and eating away the edges until it has shaped the metal to its will. Yet the file has, in truth, no real will in the matter, but serves another master as the metal also does. It is the master and not the file that decides how much shall be eaten away, what shape the metal shall take, and how long the painful filing shall continue. Let the metal accept the will of the master, and it will not try to dictate when or how it shall be filed. As for the furnace, it is the worst of all. ruthless and savage. It leaps at every combustible thing that enters it and never relaxes its fury until it has reduced it all to shapeless masses and ashes. All that refuses to be burned is melted to a mass of helpless matter without will or purpose of its own. When everything is melted that will melt, and all is burned that will burn, then and not until then, the furnace calms down and rests from its destructive fury. Rutherford realized with divine wisdom that there was a reason to give God praise for his work in his life in bringing the hammer, the file, and when necessary, the furnace. I speak with compassion when I say to all of us, none of this is pleasant. Learning to submit as adults is a painful procedure. It's hard enough when we're younger growing up, but when adults who have gone our own way, called our own shots, demanded our own will, forged our own plan, and then come to realize it has all led to a stubborn, independent individual who not only can hardly get along with others, we can hardly get along with ourselves. And if we want to live lives that are joyful and contented and obedient and satisfying, we will acknowledge that God is God and we are not. I plead with you, especially you who are among the most stubborn in this audience, whoever you may be, wherever you may be in life, stop now and yield to the one who is going to have his way in your life, one way or the other. He will. I'd like you to bow your heads, please. Our time is up. Just very quietly sit right there. It is one thing to go through the book of Jonah. It's another thing to allow it to go through us. It is one thing to see the lessons Jonah did not learn. It's another thing to learn them for ourselves. If you have never in your life trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Master, now is the time. It all begins at the cross. For you believe in him whom to know is life everlasting. By doing so, you will not have an instant, overnight success story, but you'll begin a journey that will start with your being forgiven, placed in the family of God, and graciously accepted as one of his own sons and daughters. And in that position, you will know the joy of answered prayer, the pleasure of seeing the work of your hands fulfilling his plan for your life, and watching a whole direction take place that's never been true before. But it begins with your coming to Christ. Just a simple prayer. I now trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I take Him. I turn away from myself. I leave behind a life marked by stubborn independence, and I repent from that as I turn toward Him. Thank You for the hammer, the file, the furnace that has brought me to this place. Now help me to grow as I learn to walk with You. If we can help You in that journey, that's the reason we are here as a church. We are here as a ministry. Nothing would thrill us more than to help you on your way toward a walk with Christ. Now, our Father, we commit to You, as these words linger and the sermon ends, we commit to You our thoughts, our lives. Enable those who have never trusted in You, Your Son Jesus, to do so now, that You might begin a work in their lives that's truly remarkable. Turn them in the direction they've wanted to be going, didn't know how to get there. And help us to be open, accepting, and willing to assist in their walk with You. Thank You in advance for the things You will do through the things we have heard and hopefully the things we have learned this day. Through Christ, I pray this. Everyone said, Amen.
The pitfalls of rebellion have been made very clear in Jonah's experience, and wise are those who learn from his life. You're listening to Insight for Living. As Chuck Swindoll has offered his closing prayer, he's also wrapping up a brand new 9-part series called Jonah, the Reluctant Prophet. Well, Chuck is here in the studio with a personal comment, but first let me mention that tomorrow our attention moves from the Old Testament to the New. On Thursday's program, we'll begin a study in the book of Philippians. It's a series Chuck has called Laugh Again.
Okay, Dave, it's time for a moment of nostalgia. Let's all think back 40 years ago. If you're old enough to remember 1979, then create a mental picture of the place you called home back then. Can you see it in your mind? Think about your status at that time, your occupation, for example. If your experience was anything like mine, 4 decades have delivered a number of surprises. Some of them have been shocking. Some have been welcomed. Some events have dramatically altered the course of your life. But through it all, God has proven Himself faithful. Back in June of 1979, our good friend, Al Sanders, was putting the final touches on our first program that would begin airing that first Monday in July. We chose the name Insight for Living, and with knees knocking a bit, our fledgling ministry stepped out in faith, purchasing airtime on, hear this, 63 very carefully and prayerfully selected radio stations across North America. Well, today Insight for Living is broadcast on over 2,600 radio stations in 50 countries in 8 different languages. No one is more surprised than I am by the growth of our receptive global audience. Let me be absolutely clear. We didn't take this journey alone. From the beginning, God divinely appointed His children, that would be folks just like you and me, to partner with Him through sacrificial giving. And He sovereignly orchestrated the entire outcome. And so, my friend, as we step into our next 40 years of ministry, can I count on you to give generously today? We are uniquely postured to reach a whole new generation of listeners on the radio and through all the wonderful new technologies that are now at our disposal. But we're relying upon your generosity to forge our future. Your gift today is urgently needed. So please, take a few extra moments to celebrate 40 years of God's faithfulness by giving to Insight for Living and giving generously. Thanks so much.
Choose from a variety of methods for responding to Chuck Swindoll. If you're listening in the United States and prefer to pick up the phone and give us a call, our telephone number is 1-800-772-8888. Our number again, 1-800-772-8888. Or you can give a donation online at insight.org. More and more people are listening to Chuck's teaching by using our convenient mobile app. If you're among them, you'll notice we provided a simple method for giving a donation on the app. And if you're listening in the United States, you can also make a connection with us by sending a text to 555-888 and typing the one word INSIGHT into your text box. You'll receive instructions on how to give. But no matter what method you choose, we'd like to say thank you for your generous support. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll turns to Philippians to begin his signature series called Laugh Again. Be listening Thursday to Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Lessons Learned from a Stubborn Preacher, was copyrighted in 2018 and 2019, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.